There you go. I see hands. I also see some people kind of smiling to yourself as you remember that annoying little dog that popped out of the grass when you lost a duck hunt. I've got great memories of my mom and dad sitting on the stairs looking down into our living room as I played that NES gaming system, as I tried to conquer the various levels of Mario Brothers. And they helped me a lot. They told me when to jump. They told me to hurry up when time was running out. And they were always ready with a, "Aw, too bad," whenever I failed a level, which was sadly far too often. And as new systems came out, like many people, I upgraded. Super Nintendo, which provided more challenging games, better graphics. GameCube, Wii. Thanks to Haley and Ian, not that I think they remember, I've got a Wii U under my TV right now. As the girls grew up and got older, we went through various generations of Game Boy. I'm sure you remember those too. And with each game that we bought, I have to admit, I spent hours upon hours trying to perfect my skills so that I could defeat each level and beat the game, and secretly so that the girls wouldn't beat me either, which was a great big waste of my time because it happens every time now. Now, one of the nice features with all these games as they came in was that if it got too difficult, if you messed up a level beyond comprehension, a simple push of a reset button, and you're right back to the beginning. You're given new hope at a new start. You got a do-over. All your mistakes were gone. Whatever had you done in the past was history. Well, tonight, all over the world, people, just around midnight, are going to be making public declarations. They're going to share with each other how in 2018 they plan to become new and improved people. They're going to make their New Year's resolutions. Yeah, New Year's resolution. The tradition that comes but once a year. That imaginary reset button, which many believe gives us the opportunity to start everything all over again, to improve on aspects of our lives. People put hope for a better future in New Year's resolutions, in traditions, and beliefs. I know at Debbie's family, they had a New Year's tradition where Uncle John would walk around the house at midnight. He walked out the back door, taking the old year out with him, and quickly came around to the front and came in the front door, bringing the new year in with him. Now, it was Uncle John's job because it had to be a dark-haired gentleman, and that was Uncle John. Now, as John came into the house, he was given a piece of coal. That was to bring good luck to the household. Now, it's a Scottish, it's an English tradition. Sometimes it varied. Not only coal, but you'd get salt, you could get bread. All these were supposed to bring you warmth, good luck, money, food. And it's funny. I look at things like that. And it's humorous. Why? We cling to them, hoping that if we do that, or do something like that, we can change the outcome of the future. Because the truth is, if that worked, if everyone walked around the house at New Year's with dark hair and came in and had health and wealth and food and warmth, we'd all do it. But it's not like that in life. Now, again, don't get me wrong. New Year's resolutions, and if you stick with them, they can help us tweak our lives, make minor modifications to aspects, to habits of what we have going on. I mean, who hasn't in this room in the past said, this year I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to do a little better in school this year. How about I'm going to save money and get myself out of debt? I think I'll quit procrastinating. Soon. Yeah, in a month or two. We want to change. We hope for something better in the future. But what happens? What happens when the new year ends, and it's just like the old one. What happens to our hope in a future when the things that we made resolutions about this year are the same as the ones we made last year, and the year before that, and the year before that? What happens when 2018 comes to an end and you're the same person living the same life that you are right today? Well, speaking from experience, if you constantly play a video game and you can't get past a certain level, you do one of two things. You get the cheat sheets and then convince yourself as you go through all the different levels that you're doing a great job. But more often than not, you just simply quit playing the game. Now, there's a story in John chapter 4. It goes from verse 41 to 42, and I'm not going to read them today, only because it'll be New Year's Eve by the time we're finished. But it's about a woman who tried to reset her life on numerous occasions. Each time, only to end up disappointed. She's been disappointed so often now that she no longer even plays the game. She has no hope for a better future. She has no hope of new starts. Everything she's done in her life has resulted in driving her further and further away from hope in anything. It is, of course, the story of the Samaritan woman. And again, we won't read it today, but I will touch on some highlights and just give a recap of the whole story. I do encourage you, however, when you go home at some point over the new year, read it. Now, John doesn't tell us the name of the woman. I'm going to call her for the rest of the day Liz. Short for Elizabeth, as in Elizabeth Taylor. Simply because she's been married 5 times and she's living with a 6th person right now. And I think that's kind of fitting. We're told that she's gone to the well alone at the hottest time of the day just to get some water. She's not like the other women in town who go in the cool of the morning and the cool of the evening. They go together so they can help each other, and they go so they can talk amongst themselves. Now, Liz is here by herself for one reason. Her life stinks. She's alone, an outcast, and she goes there because she doesn't want to hear people talk about her. Not with her. You see, Liz is a great believer in better things to come. In the grass is always greener on the other side. In new beginnings. If she's not happy with a marriage, she hits the reset button and tries again. She's literally gone to the well of matrimony repeatedly, 5 times exactly. Each time hoping it would be better this time. Now, as Liz nears the well, she sees a man sitting there. She hesitates for a few minutes and weighs her options. Get water and hope that he ignores her, which everyone else in the world does, or turn back home with no water at all. And she makes her decision. So she sets out because she wanted water. That was her mission when she set out. Get water. So she moves towards the well. True to form, just like the rest of Liz's life, didn't work out as she planned, because what she hoped for falls apart very quickly. The man, Jesus, as she will soon learn, immediately asks her for water, and they get into a discussion, which shouldn't happen. He's not her husband. He doesn't know her, and that just doesn't happen in that day and age. But they start talking. He talks about living water, about never thirsting again, and about eternal life. And as she listens, Liz is intrigued. Truth be known, a little flame of hope is rekindled inside her. And when she feels that, she quickly tries to put it out. She tries to change the subject. She tries to redirect what they're talking about to something else. Because she doesn't want another new start. She knows how they end. But Jesus is also on a mission, and he's not going to be turned away. He continues. He brings up her past, the failed marriages, her current living situation. Everything that's ever robbed her of any hope, he talks about. All the things that she's painfully aware of, the failed new starts, every reason why she's alone, why she's an outcast. And as she listens to Jesus, she begins to understand. He's not talking about something that will just quench her physical thirst. He has plans that are much bigger, much more grandiose. He's offering something that will quench her spiritual thirst and give her eternal life. He's offering her hope and a new beginning. A new future, not just a reset or a do-over. And once she understands this fully and accepts that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, once she has openly shared her past with him and faces all those problems with him, she is filled with hope. Hope for something better than what she has right now. At the start, I read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." When we look at this verse, specifically new and creation, in the original Greek, new or kainos means what was not there before, what has only appeared or arisen, what is new and distinctive as compared with other things. And creation, or katesis, means divine creation, an object of creation into existence by God. Once Liz believes and accepts Jesus as her Messiah, she becomes a new creation, something that didn't exist before. She receives a new beginning and a much better future. And if we continue reading in 2 Corinthians, verses 18 through 21, we'll see what that new creation is and what Jesus has planned for Liz and for all of us. All this is from God, who reconciled to us through himself, through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for all of us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. These verses, they're powerful, but they are so full of the message of hope and the purpose of what Jesus plans for each of us. Through Jesus, we're reconciled. We've been restored to a favorable, a friendly relationship with God. Our past, all our sins, all those failed resets are forgiven when we accept and are in Jesus. We are that new creation. As if, and like the brand new beginning that he gives us, if that's not enough, he's entrusted us with sharing that same message of reconciliation with the world, with offering hope and a new beginning to everyone we meet. We are changed from being outcasts, from being alone, to being with him and becoming his ambassador. This new creation, this position as an ambassador, when you read the woman, the Samaritan woman, is very evident. As the disciples return from the town, they start standing around Jesus, trying to figure out what's been going on. What is this woman doing there with Jesus? And as they're trying to sort this all out in their minds, Liz drops everything, heads back to town. Disciples sit there and going, "Yeah, we're good. We got rid of a crazy lady who comes out in the middle of the day to get water. We protected Jesus." But that's not why she left. Liz has gone back to town as a new creation to start her new position. The woman who went to the well at the hottest time of the day so that she could avoid speaking or seeing anyone else in town is now sharing with each and every one that she finds her story, what's happened. She's not embarrassed about her past anymore. She's sharing it openly with everybody. She's actively seeking, trying to tell everyone what's gone on. And the townspeople, many of them can sense, if not see, that there's something that was not there before. Something new and distinctive. And many people believe, just because of her story. Many more, they're intrigued. They see something, but they have to see it for themselves. So they all go to the well. And then over the next few days, as they spend time with Jesus, they come to believe him as Lord. When Liz left her home to go to the well that day, she wasn't looking for or expecting anything other than what life brought her each and every day. She'd quit playing the game. She'd accepted that her life would never change, would never get better. She knew she'd be alone, that she'd be the topic of conversation around town. She had no hope for her future. That changed that day. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. I guess I just did ask you a question, so let me rephrase that. Let me ask you another question. Where does this message find you today? Are you hoping the future will be better and that maybe by making some small changes in your life, you can bring about a brand new you? Or are you at a point where you simply don't want to play the game anymore? You've tried. You've tried again to improve. You've worn out the reset button of life, and everything is still the same. All you want to do is get through this new year with no major issues, no major problems. You don't think the new year will bring a new you at all. Maybe because today is December 31st. Maybe because today is New Year's Eve day. Like many others, you've waited all year. You've lived with what you've got. So tonight that you can make that resolution and you can hope for change. And if this is you, I hate to break it to you, but the success rate of resolutions is not that good. 60% of resolutions made tonight won't see the end of January. 80% of the resolutions that are made tonight won't see the end of March. You can't make a new you. Trust me, I know. I'm a walking, talking example of resolutions and try to improve that just don't go anywhere. I can remember probably 6 times now, well, previously, at New Year's that I said, I'm going to quit smoking. I mean, I was so serious one time, I actually took a brand new unopened pack of cigarettes and fired them into the fireplace at midnight, and there was a fire going at the time. I also clearly remember waking up the next morning and having a cigarette. Wasn't a new me. All I managed to do was waste a couple dollars on cigarettes. I mean, I tried quitting so many times that I gave up hope it would ever happen. I couldn't change. That was until I met and accepted Jesus into my life, and he began that new creation in me. And as a part of that new creation, the need for nicotine wasn't there. I mean, it wasn't immediate. It was a year or two later, but he did take it away. And it was painless at the time. I can remember telling Debbie, I'm done. She goes, no, keep going. I was doing a patch. Keep going. I said, no, I'm done. I mean, done. I've never lit up since. Never, no desire. New creation. New beginnings. Now, again, we can try and change ourselves. But what happens when the next day we reach for a cigarette or we find an excuse not to exercise or we can continue to spend the money we don't have? The ultimate result is we start to lose hope in a better tomorrow. And when we lose that hope, it's replaced with disappointment and sadness and an acceptance that we're not deserving or capable of anything better. Just like Liz. But just like Liz, there is hope. There is a new and a better life available to each and every one of us. And you don't have to wait for New Year's Day or any other special event. It's available right now. Right this minute. Because Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for all of us. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God gave the prophet Ezekiel these words, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And when Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus at night, Jesus shared these words with him. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And in verse 6, a little later on, he said, "Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." It is New Year's Eve day. But you can have a new beginning right now. Jesus has done all the work for us. He's taken away our sins so that we can be reconciled to the Father. And he's waiting for us. He's standing there. Not to give you a reset, but to give you a whole new beginning. And all you have to do is come to him. As I close today, I'm going to pray. And if you're in a spot in your life where you've not either accepted Jesus, or you've backslid a bit, but you really want that hope for a better future, you want that new beginning, to be a new creation, I invite you to say the prayer with me. You don't have to say it out loud. He knows what's in our hearts and in our minds. If that's what you want, please say these words with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and you came from heaven to suffer and to die on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the dead, and that you are alive today and sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus, I am a sinner, but I now turn away from my life and towards you. Thank you for paying the penalty for my sins by giving your life for me. I now give my life to you. I pray, Spirit, come into my life. Live with me. Father, you know me. You know everything about me, so please work in the areas of my life that you want to change in me right now, to make me more the person that you created me to be. And Father, give me the words that I can share with others to share the gift of salvation that is only available through your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now friends, if you said that prayer with me today, could you just let some of you came know about that? Because this is special. Come on, see me after, or one of the staff. It's New Year's Eve day. This is a new beginning.